You're listening to Indiana Reading and Information Services at WFYI Public Media. For more information, visit www.wfyi.org/IRIS.
Hello, my name is Alice Taylor, and I'm the volunteer reader for IRIS Radio. I host the Pet Report that broadcasts during the weekends. During the week, my full-time job is with the Information Services Agency for the City of Indianapolis and Marion County. Our agency has been working very hard for the past year to bring the citizens of Marion County a new improved website. To talk about what has been done on the website and what's available now and what to expect in the future, I've invited two guests from the Information Services Agency to help teach us a little bit more about this new and exciting initiative. Leading the initiative is Abby Brands. Abby, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Thanks, Alice. I'm Abby Brands. I'm the Chief Communications Officer for the Information Services Agency. I lead the project with Mark Warner.
Hello, everybody. Mark Warner, Deputy Director for the Information Services Agency. And along with Abby, we are really driving the Shift Indy initiative forward and trying to bring our citizens a more intuitive and engaging website for all of our listeners out there. So we're excited to talk about it today.
Mark and Abby, can you tell us a little bit about why there would be such a big overhaul of our current website to a new website? What prompted this?
Yeah, Alice, it's a great question. So the old website is incredibly clunky. It's not easy to use, and it's definitely not easy to find the information or the services you need. So when we took a look at the website, we thought we could definitely make it prettier. We could match the new mayor's branding and his initiatives, or we could really dismantle what we have and think about how we provide government services to the citizens and businesses of Indianapolis and Marion County. While the end result is a much nicer, much easier to use website, the backstory behind it and what we're doing to really reinvent government service is actually the bigger story, in our opinion, of what we're really doing. We're trying to make it easier for folks to not have to come to the building. We're trying to take current government services, leverage technology where we can, and make it easier for people to access their government whenever and wherever they want to. And my.nd.gov is the new vehicle for that. It's the way people will be able to access their local government services moving forward.
So I've heard it called the Digital City Hall. Is that an apt name for it?
Yeah. So it is not of our own creation. Well, partially. Back in the day, Mayor Goldsmith had the initiative, the Electronic Town Hall, which we thought was pretty interesting. And, you know, so it's been a common thread through city government for quite some time to try to leverage technology and make it easier on citizens. We think we're really doing a great job of doing it now. But yeah, the idea behind it is truly a digital city hall. You know, you don't have to worry about come to the building, don't have to worry about paying for parking or finding a sitter or taking off work or any of those things. You know, we're trying to make it mobile friendly, for one, and just digitally friendly, so you can pull out your phone or get on a PC and find what you need versus having to make a physical trip.
That's terrific, because a lot of our listeners don't really have transportation, and some of them are disabled. Would there be services that they could more easily access from the comfort of their home?
For disabled populations, currently have a few property tax deductions for blind and disabled property owners. Some people don't really know these deductions exist. I think in a lot of cases when someone purchases a house, they're aware of the homestead or potentially the mortgage deduction, but some of these other smaller deductions don't really get publicized much. So just to share a little bit of information about those, if you wanted to try to qualify for a blind or disabled property tax deduction, you have to meet the following requirements, which is having evidence of a disability or blindness. For blindness, this could be a statement from your doctor or a record in the county department or of public welfare, State Department of Public Welfare, or any Indiana Rehabilitation Services. For disability, this could be a statement from your doctor or a Social Security disability statement. You have to use the home as your primary residence, and you have to have a gross taxable income of less than $17,000. But if you meet those requirements, you can go online and search blind or disabled property tax and find that service very easily and be able to complete it within just a few minutes.
Well, I understand that's a really great asset for a lot of our homeowners out there. So what if someone who is homebound wanted to vote? I understand that there's some changes in our ability to vote.
There's a lot of information about voting for those that are disabled, for those that are ill or injured. One is the absentee ballot, which is more so just if you're not going to be available on election day. But we also have information on the traveling board, and this is conducted by the Marion County Election Board. They provide absentee voting for those that are confined due to injury or illness or disability, and they hand deliver ballots to voters confined in their home because of these issues. Caregivers can also vote by traveling board, so if you're a caregiver and you're unable to vote, you can do that as well. So there's a lot of information on those. Those aren't necessarily digital applications at this point, but we do provide a fair amount of information to get what you need.
Excellent. That's terrific. So nice to know that someone will bring a ballot to some of our listeners who may not be able to get out and about or be able to print something off of their computer. So let's talk a little bit about veterans. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about what the services are available for veterans specifically for them?
Sure, Alice. Thanks for the question. We do have information out there, more of information as a service and content for the Veteran Services Office within the City of Indianapolis. Matt Hall leads that initiative for the City of Indianapolis and the Mayor's Office. But on this information within my.indy.gov, it includes contact information for the director of this office, as well as information on several local and national resources for our veterans. And there's going to be more information coming, but this liaison, sort of Matt Hall, the director of this office, has a local council that he gains sort of veteran membership on and tries to hear out issues where the mayor's office may be able to address those. So that has some information on our website too that those veterans can sign up for. There's also just more contact information or local resources, but then there's also a veterans homestead deduction. So Abby was talking about the blind and disabled deduction. There is a veterans or surviving spouse deduction for those who may have been participating in our world wars.
Oh, okay. And is there anything specifically that they would need to know about that, or would the website tell them everything they needed to know?
The website will tell them a lot of the information, but I can definitely run through some of the high-level information. So that digital property tax deduction for the veteran homeowners, it's for both full and partially disabled veterans. The fully disabled deduction reduces the value of a property tax assessment by $12,480, or the amount of the assessment, whichever is less. To qualify, a person must have this information: evidence of total disability. This could be a VA Form 20-5455, pension certificate, award of compensation, or a letter of disability. You could also be 62 years old with a disability of at least 10%. You must provide evidence of disability, or be the surviving spouse of a veteran who would have qualified for the deduction when he or she was alive. You must provide the age of your spouse when he or she died to complete the application. Have a combined assessed value on real estate and personal property of $175,000 or less, and have served in the military for at least 90 days. You can also submit an information that has if they received an honorable discharge as proof of evidence of being a veteran. So individuals who may meet that partially disabled veteran requirements reduce the value of the property tax assessment by $24,960, or the amount of their assessment, whichever is less. That could be a lot of sort of freed up income and money for those individuals who may not have a lot of income coming in to begin with. So to qualify for this individual partially disabled veteran deduction, you need to have a disability of 10% or more connected to wartime service. You must provide evidence of that disability, meaning that could be a VA Form 20-5455, the pension certificate, award of compensation, or a letter of disability. Received an honorable discharge, or be the surviving spouse of a veteran who would have qualified for the deduction when he or she was alive, and be able to provide the age of that spouse when he or she did pass away. And we're always looking to any and all of those communities to learn what we can to better support those needs. So if you have more information as far as what you may be looking for within the veteran services community, to the extent to what the City of Indianapolis and Marion County can provide, we want to take that information and figure out how we can put that into the hands of the listeners and the viewers of our website. So the goal of the website, again, is to provide all citizens and businesses of Indianapolis and Marion County the ability to access local government services whenever and wherever they need them. So if there are services, specifically more content or information around the veterans information, you can definitely feel free to go to my.indy.gov, and there's a Have a Feedback link at the bottom of the website, or you can email us at shift.indy@indy.gov, and we'll take that information and provide it to the Veteran Services Office.
So we've talked about property deductions for disabled and for veterans. Is there anything for the elderly?
Of course, Alice. I'd be happy to talk about that in a little bit more detail. So we do have a lot of general services that are geared towards that aging or senior population. We have two property tax deductions for those over 65 years of age, the over 65 or surviving spouse deduction, and the circuit breaker deduction for senior citizens. The first one I'll talk to is the over 65 or surviving spouse deduction. So if you receive the over 65 or surviving spouse deduction, you will receive a reduction in your home's assessed value of $12,480 or half the assessed value, whichever is less. The lower the assessed value of your home, then that results in a smaller overall property tax bill. So in order to qualify for this deduction, you must meet these requirements to receive it. Turn 65 or older by December 31st of the prior year. You can also receive the deduction if your spouse was 65 or older at the time of death. You must be 60 or older and have not been remarried. You own or have been paying on a recorded contract for at least 1 year for a property or in living in that property as your primary residence for a year. Have a combined adjusted gross income of $25,000 or less for the prior year. And this income includes that of your spouse and all others who own or pay rent on the property. Have an assessed property value of $182,430 or less, and receive no other property tax deductions except the mortgage, homestead standard, and/or supplemental deductions, and the fertilizer storage deduction. The other tax break for seniors that I had mentioned previously is the over 65 circuit breaker credit, and this limits how much your taxes will increase each year. So for those on a fixed income, this is a really important credit for you to apply for, as it'll help limit how much those increases of property taxes go up as your assessed value goes up in your neighborhood. So with this credit, your taxes will increase no more than 2% each year. The maximum credit you can receive equals your tax liability minus the prior tax year times 1.02, that 2%. You must meet these requirements to receive the deduction, and they're very similar to the previous one, but there are slight differences on the values of income and assessed value. So first requirement, turn 65 or older by December 31st of the prior year. Have qualified for the homestead standard deduction on the property this year and last year, and have an adjusted gross income of $30,000 or less, or a combined adjusted gross income with your spouse of $40,000 or less. Have a gross assessed property value of $160,000 or less on the homestead portion, and you can actually find the value of the homestead portion of your property on your tax bill, property record card, and you can also look this up on my.indy.gov as well as an additional service. You also, as the final requirement, need to own, be buying on recorded contract, or have a beneficial interest in the property of which you're applying for the credit. So again, there's a lot of information out there. The easiest thing for our site, if you're interested in a lot of the senior or the deductions, is just go to my.indy.gov, and there's a simple search bar up there, Alice, that anybody can type into, and it'll start pulling up. So if they type in senior, if they type in disabled, it's going to pull up a list of cards for them to be able to go through those results and choose which application they'd like to submit for.
So they wouldn't have to know the specific thing that they're looking for. They just need to know basically that they're looking for property deductions or just property or senior, as you said. So just one or two words should pull up a lot of great information for our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what's easy about this site and why we're sort of going through this rebuilding from the ground up, is that it's really designed for a person looking for a service and not necessarily the agency or department providing it. So those property taxes, for those of you that may not know, actually hit three and sometimes four of our agents, county agencies. So you may be thinking you're going to the treasurer's site to be able to pay your property taxes, and you intuitively think, well, I want to apply for my deductions there. That's actually with the auditor's office. So the whole point of the new site is to make it very topic or card interest focused instead of an agency or department. So that's where that search bar comes in. It's intuitive, just like a Google search bar. And it's something that's going to learn as we continue to grow the site and add more content. So the more people that are using it, the more analytics, the more data that we can get on what people are going to within our site. And that way, if we have content that's old or stale or not informative to our population anymore, and we realize nobody is really searching on this, we can keep the site pretty clean and get rid of that information if it's not useful.
Excellent. Well, I have, obviously, since I work at Information Services agency for the City of Indianapolis. I have seen the site, and what I like about it is that it is easy to read. It is in, as Mark mentioned, a card format. So just imagine cards with information or topics of information on your screen. So it's super easy to read, and you just click and it takes you right where you need to go. And I personally love that. Who wants to be searching around for something for an hour when all you really want to know is just an answer to one question? So we've talked a lot about property deductions. Let's talk about just general services. For instance, I personally always want to know when heavy trash pickup is because I can never remember what day of the month it is since it only comes once a month. Can you talk a little bit about that, Abby?
We have so many different city services that are provided to the citizens of Indianapolis and Marion County. And as you mentioned, trash day is definitely one of them. I know we always get to that point where we clean out that spare bedroom or that garage or that basement and want to know when you could take that stuff to the curb and you won't be an unsightly mess for the rest of your neighborhood. If you head to my.indy.gov, the website we're all talking about, and you type in trash or find my, you will definitely find a service that leads you to not only your current trash day, but also heavy trash day. If you're interested in recycling or it's offered in your neighborhood, you can also find that pickup day as well. There are several Find My services on the website. For instance, if you're interested in knowing where your polling place is, you know, we've talked about voting a few times. If you are able to get out and vote and you want to know where your polling place is, if you're interested in a sample ballot, so maybe you've seen a lot of those Democratic and Republican commercials back and forth, you know, while you're trying to watch TV, and you're interested in actually who is on your ballot on election day, you can find that out. You can also find out who your current elected officials are. So simply by putting in your address where you live, it will geolocate you and let you know who your city county councilor is, all the way up to House representatives, and I think even it lets you know who the president is, too, if you're curious about that one. Another great service is finding your mayor's neighborhood advocate. So internally, we know who these folks are, but I'm not sure if many people know that there's a mayor's neighborhood advocate assigned to every neighborhood within the city. And these folks help you connect to resources within your community, as well as just your neighborhood resources, local government resources, nonprofits. They're really there to help you find services you need, and especially to connect neighbors within the city. So you can search Find My Neighborhood, Mayor's Neighborhood Advocate, and you can locate those folks to help you answer some questions and maybe navigate local government and local nonprofits a little easier.
That's terrific. That is really great information, Abby. Thank you so much. You know, one of the things that I, as a person who lives downtown, I am always interested in safety, which I assume everyone is interested in safety. Is there services and information that we can find out, our listeners can find out about safety?
Sure. Again, typing in safety to the search bar of my.indy.gov, I think you'll be presented with a large list of safety tips and safety-related services. A lot of this we've been working hand-in-hand with Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department to get some of these new services out there and more of the community engagement aspect. So I can talk a little bit about those. One of the services we have is Ask for Extra Patrols, which is really great for those homeowners and business owners who may be traveling on vacation for a while, or even a neighborhood association if they think extra patrols are warranted, maybe potentially suspicious activity, or they just know that a lot of homeowners are going to be gone. They can request those extra patrols to have the IMPD come out during certain times while they're gone and review the neighborhood.
So do they just do a drive-by, or do they check your door, or?
They, depending on what the submit, what the individual is submitting and what they're requesting, they do ask them information as far as what standard do you tend to leave a back light on? Is there a car there? You know, some of that background information to identify if something different is going on so that they're aware of what the house or the property looked like when you left it. But there are more of those going up to the door, more like welfare checks, of mm-hmm. which they can definitely call AMPD for and do a welfare check on somebody if somebody is supposed to be there but they're not responding. These are more just sort of giving the background so that they know, hey, things look a little unusual or not as what the citizen reported to us for those extra patrols. But yeah, they'll drive around during a certain time frame, and depending on the comments and what you're requesting, I'm sure they'd go up and check on something in more specifics.
Thanks.
Some of the other services we've been working with IMPD are submitting a traffic complaint. So that could just be regular traffic issues on the roads or speeding through a neighborhood. There's also something that I relate to safety as well, and that's reporting potholes. And that's something that can be a dangerous situation for individuals out there. And we know DPW and everybody in the city is really working hard to address that pothole concern and get that caught up. There's also related other report my services or reporting services that are linked to Request Indy, which is something that's been run out of the Mayor's Action Center for a while. We've added some additional entry points, if you will, to the Mayor's Action Center off of my.indy.gov. Some of those are what Abby was referring to earlier, but there are other items like reporting stray animals and reporting high grass and weeds and some of the typical sort of code enforcement type items. But something that may be important for this population as well is reporting if a traffic signal is not working, or maybe the crosswalk beeping notification for a crosswalk, maybe a handicap ramp is starting to crumble or a curb is crumbling. Those are items that you could submit through the Mayor's Action Center, through the Request Indy application on your phone, or through the my.indy.gov website as well.
That's excellent.
So those are some of those safety type of cards and information, as well as general tips around the holidays and when you're leaving home that were provided by IMPD.
That is excellent news. Yeah, I noticed a crosswalk sign that was out going to my car this morning. So good to know that I can just get right online and file a report. And now, can we follow up that report? What happens once you file that report? Do you get an email that says that gives you a case number? How does that work?
Yeah, if you submit online through our my.indy.gov, you'll get a confirmation email letting you know what your submission number is. And we don't have an online way right now to track the status of your submission. That is something that we're looking toward in the future of being able to add. We want to get the services out there first and then continue to enhance them. But they can use that information that they received in their email. If they do want to follow up, they can call the Mayor's Action Center and be able to give them that information, and they can look within their case system. And if it's something that was identified, there are anonymous reporting of some of these as well.
Right.
So that's all information that's out there. And Alice, you brought up a good point. I think it was a mistake, but you had mentioned streetlights, and that's one of our actual newest requesting digital services on the website, to request a streetlight. It's part of the Mayor's Streetlight Initiative to be able to lighten up Indianapolis, and not especially in high crime areas where it may be dark and they're really IMPD and coordinated effort with the city are trying to target that area. So that is available off of the Request Indy app as well as my.indy.gov currently.
Oh, great. So street lights and street crossing signs. Perfect. Yes. I like it. I like it.
And potholes.
Yes. And potholes. Yes. Potholes. Everyone's about the potholes. Yeah. That's terrific. Can you talk, you said, just mentioned a little bit, like there are things that you're going to do in the future. So you've gotten these services out here for us to make requests. So say, again, like you were talking about, we can make a request for a police run or extra patrols or high weeds and things like that. And we get an email that confirms that. But in the future, you're looking at ways for the citizen to be able to track the progress of their report. And another thing that you mentioned, are they able to do this anonymously? So say, for instance, somebody wanted to report high weeds and grass on a property, but they didn't really want that particular neighbor to know that they did that. Yeah. Are they able to do that without giving their name?
Yeah, I think the anonymous sort of flag, if you will, I believe is on most of the services. There might be a couple where it's needing to be able to identify what the complaint is or what the report is, but that anonymous flag is out there and you can submit things. And really, if you're using it on your phone through the Request Indy app, then that is something where it'll geolocate where you're at and you're able to sort of point and identify and then submit it that way without having to put your contact information.
Oh, that's interesting.
But you touched upon sort of the future services and being able to track. That goes into our overall sort of site intuitiveness that we want to get to. By the end of the year, we're really targeting to have a user profile type of authentication for the website. So if our citizens are really engaged and want to remain engaged with their local government, then they can create a profile and opt in to, as you would with Google or Facebook or anything else. And you can start saving things, your address, what your favorite park is. You might even subscribe to certain newsletters or potentially in the future push notifications. question. So Abby was talking about trash days, and you're not sure when your heavy trash day is, then that may be something you want to subscribe to in the future, and we might be able to push a text message to you. So we're really at the early stages of planning what all is going to be included in that user authentication or creating that profile. And the option, of course, you don't want to save your profile or any information within the city county government for the website purposes. You'll always be able to bypass that and still reach all the services. It's creating a more engaging experience for that citizen that wants to sign up and be that engaged with their city hall.
Can you just give a definition of, in this particular website, what a profile is?
Sure. So a profile, in the essence, is something where you might create your username or a password. You might store some high-level information so that we as the city, county, have a better understanding of your profile. So where you're living as far as like a zip code or your parks and what services you're interested in, we're able to get more analytics than to see what you're interested in so that we can continue to tailor the website and build it for what our customers are looking for. The profile may act very similarly as a Google profile, but our whole goal with the setting up a profile is right now, in many services, you're bouncing out, you're being redirected to another portal or another login where you're needing username and passwords. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick of keeping a list of 50
passwords.
Different passwords.
Yes, I have a whole sheet. Yes.
So the goal with this is that anything that we traditionally may have bounced you out to that may need a username or a password to access government services, you just log in once. And then from there on out, eventually we're trying to get a partnership with the state so that if you're a business owner or a residential owner, that you may be able to bounce to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles or to the state's Indiana business portal using the exact same username and password. So that's the long-term vision, is to eliminate passwords, have one single sign-on, if you will,
right,
that connects to the different government portals that exist, but keeping it unified on our website.
So it becomes transparent to the user that they're in the state versus the city. They just know that they're looking for particular services for their address or their zip code. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that, they could update their driver's license or their license tag, as well as find out when heavy trash pickup is. So it would be a seamless type of integration, is what you're saying.
That's a long-term goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
it would take a lot of work to get there, but that is our vision of how a connected, interconnected government should work for the citizens.
Well, one thing that I did want to ask you about is that I know that it's only been a year or so since you've been working with the Shift Indy website, but I understand that Information Services Agency and the Shift Indy in particular has won a very prestigious award. Can you tell us about that award? Because obviously this website is so great that you even have other cities asking you to come out and tell them, what are you doing in Indianapolis?
Yay.
Yeah, we're on the map.
Yeah, we won an award. It was fantastic. So it is TechPoint's annual MIRA Awards Gala. TechPoint is a local nonprofit that helps bridge the tech community, both private and public sector organizations, and helps highlight those that are doing the best work they possibly can for tech in Indiana. So it's known as the Best in Tech Awards. We were nominated for Corporate Innovator of the Year for the Shift Indy Initiative, which truly we were nominated for the model behind the website, nominated for this idea of overhauling government service, of leveraging technology and making it easier, of bridging the gap between city and county and agency and department and removing all of that for the average citizen or business to find what they need. So we won the award for Corporate Innovator of the Year for 2018. This past April at their annual gala. It was a wonderful event. Mark got to wear a tux. And
you got to wear a very long gown.
I did, yes. It was a lot of fun. But a lot of people say the whole shtick of, just to be nominated was incredible, but it truly, truly was. We have so much incredible growth in our city right now within tech. I mean, Salesforce put their name on the biggest building in our city, and, we're one of four Salesforce towers in the world. And that's incredible. And so for public sector and the work that we're doing in local government, for that to be nominated and recognized even, amidst a bunch of private sector organizations, that felt incredible. And to win was just astonishing. We were just jaw dropped, so surprised. But again, just so rewarding. It feels incredible to know that people are acknowledging the work that we're doing. Especially they can see in some cases that it's not just the website itself, but that it really is redefining how we can engage with citizens and businesses. And to your point, Alice, yes, there have been some other cities that have reached out to us. We've done our own reaching out to other cities and counties as well. I think digital government is the future. I think the cities and counties that can kind of get their hands around it are really trying to make that push. And so there isn't necessarily a one better than other. I think we're all collectively working together as cities to learn from one another and to see what we can do to make this experience better for all citizens, and sharing tips along the way, which is great.
That is great.
And I think to follow up too, and something Abby said, you know, the main point of the award is not just the digital service work that we're creating for the constituents and the residents, but a lot of effort is going into the back office administration. So a lot of these digital services wouldn't exist if we weren't also creating digital back end processes. So as many of you know, if you have come down to the city county building, it's very paper driven, and not just for the constituents, but also for the staff themselves. And so while it does seem like it's just a website with a really intuitive front end and very interactive, there's a lot of work going on with the agency staff and the office city employees that are really thinking about their business processes and trying to rework that, think about how they engage with the customers, because just because we've been doing it the same way for the past 15, 20 years doesn't mean we need to keep doing that. To Abby's point, as far as leveraging new technology and new ways to engage in outreach within the community. So I want to thank, you know, take this opportunity to thank all the city county employees that we've been working with so far, and we'll continue to work with going forward to make sure that we can eliminate some of the paper processes, save some time, some money, as well as some time and money for the constituents by creating more digital engagement activities.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, on that note, we're just about out of time. So if there's anything, last words, or are we good?
Sure. Yeah. A couple notes. So if you do go out to my.ne.gov and you search for something, you're not finding it, that's okay. We haven't moved all of the content over from the old website, indy.gov, just yet. So if you're looking for something on the new site and you didn't find it, try indy.gov. But our goal is by the start of the last quarter, so sort of the fall time frame, October, we hope to have all the content from the old website over to the new one. And then we want to continue for this particular population. We know that mobility is a major issue, and we know that Indigo is going through a lot of rework right now with bus rapid transit and enhancing their routes. We definitely want to form a partnership with them to be able to put some of that information on our website and link out to that.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add, so as we're working through a lot of these services, several of them are applications or they're information as a service or things like that. We're also working through pay services. So how best you can pay some of these fees, or, you know, if you get a ticket or things of that nature. We know there's a large population in Marion County that is unbanked. We know there's a large population that do not want to come to the building. That's the whole point of this initiative. But that doesn't mean necessarily that you might not be able to stop at a kiosk at a local grocery store or a nearby library or things like that. So we are looking at ways to not only make this digitally accessible, but also some of those pay services, some other services accessible within your neighborhoods as well. So you can get some things done while you're running your normal errands. So that's a long-term goal for us to kind of get out in the community a little bit more.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mark Warner and Abby Brands. I appreciate so much that you came in today to talk with me, which sounds really funny because I'm going to get in the car and ride right back with them.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for inviting us, and this is a great program, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to IRIS Radio, Indiana Reading and Information Services at WFYI Public Media, serving thousands of print-impaired Hoosiers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.